I should tell you that Lucy is not here today because she's sick. And incidentally, this is her sermon. Imagine for a second that you are out on the beach, walking barefoot, and you tread on a piece of glass. After the initial hopping around, possible cursing, you look down at your foot, warm with blood and the stinging sensation caused by a mixture of glass and salt water begins to take over. As with a shaking hand, you reach down, fingers like pincers ready to extract the shard of glass that has you already wondering how much sand will be in this cut by the time you get home. How much is this going to hurt by tomorrow? The truth of the matter is that if you've ever walked on a beach barefoot, you have probably stepped on pieces of glass without even realizing it. You see, when glass ends up in the ocean and gets tossed around in the waves, it is reformed from its initial sharp state to a smooth, sometimes slightly curved pebble. The green ones stand out the most, and there is something about them that is truly beautiful, like miniature stained glass pieces from a window filled with the light of the sun. It takes a long time. It's a slow process. But as a child, and even now as an adult, my heart gives a joyful leap on finding one of these worthless gems. I imagine Jesus, Peter, James, and John had pretty bruised and cut up feet after climbing that mountain. Peter, James, and John were Jesus' closest disciples and friends. They certainly had ringside seats in ways that the others did not. All three were with him at the Transfiguration, the raising of Jairus' daughter, and again in the Garden of Gethsemane before Jesus' betrayal and arrest. The Apostle Paul later refers to the three of them as the pillars of the faith. That's in Galatians. Why did Jesus build up these three in particular? Why take them up the mountain? Perhaps it was because he was preparing them to be leaders, preparing them to spread the gospel once he was gone. They were with him every day, listening to his teaching, but they weren't getting it. Peter, in particular, frequently missed the point when Jesus spoke. So he takes them up the mountain and terrifies them as he is transfigured into the purest. Light, the purest light, glorious and blinding. They got a sneak peek of the heavenly glory to come, and God speaks. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. The Bible, start to finish, is full of examples of God calling us to listen in direct encounters or through the prophets. When Jesus speaks, and even in the final pages of the book of Revelation, an exhortation to those who hear. It turns out that we humans are terrible at listenings. We get distracted by shiny things, like messages in advertising, our phones, even pieces of weathered glass on the beach. Transfigured on the mountaintop, Jesus reveals an incredible, dazzling moment of light as Peter, James, and John see Jesus, fully human, fully divine. Jesus, the light of the world, shone before them, bathed in heavenly light. Light is a metaphor that Jesus used regularly in his teachings and sayings. We heard one of them recently from the Sermon on the Mount, with the salt and light analogy. During our Lenten study this year, we will be learning about what following Jesus, the light of the world, might have been like for the first disciples. As Bishop Stephen Cottrell presents to us in his book, The Nail, an imagined account of Peter and other characters during the Passion. Those who met Jesus as he went from place to place recognized him in chance encounters. Something as simple as touching the edge of his cloak. But his closest disciples couldn't see him clearly because they didn't want to face the truth. He kept telling him that he was going to Jerusalem to die. But God said that day on the mountain, "Listen to him." From the mountaintop, glory of the Transfiguration, they would see their friend and master on a journey to a different hill, where he would appear nailed to the cross, beaten, bleeding, and crying out to God in agony. Jesus was telling them that it was going to happen, but they were terrified, and they could not bear to hear it. It can be a frightening journey at times. That's the journey we take each Lent as we prepare ourselves for the darkness of Holy Week and the glorious celebration of Easter morning when we proclaim, "The Lord is risen." Each time we listen and are able to see the glimpses of the glory of God in each other, in creation, in the Eucharist meal, we become slowly transfigured, like pieces of glass rolling in the salt and the sand of the sea. We are molded into something beautiful that the light of Jesus shines through. So this Lent, let's listen to him. Amen.